And good morning. This is KGNU's Morning Magazine. It's Friday, January 22nd, 2021. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. I'm Roz Brown. On President Biden's first full day in office, immigrant organizations came together Thursday to call for immigration reform. KGNU's Rosanna Longo will bring us a report. A local podcast examining sexual assault has resumed after the pandemic put a wrench in production. More on that coming up. And at the bottom of the hour, it's Trends Diary. Pastor Terry Haroon with Longmont's Light of Christ Congregation shares her take on radical inclusion during the coronavirus pandemic. Then there is always light if only we're brave enough to see it. If you missed those words spoken this week at the Biden-Harris inaugural, well, you missed something special, and we'll share it again before we head into KGNU's Connections program today, when the collective gathers to reflect on the now-departed Trump presidency and to look forward to our future with President Biden and Vice President Harris. Joel Edelstein hosts Kathy Partridge, Duncan Campbell, Fiona Foster, and Roger Wendell. As always, listener questions and comments are invited on Connections, again at 8:30. Then stay tuned at 9:30 for another morning of eclectic music until noon here at KGNU. But first, we'll start with headlines. A CU professor who participated in the attempted coup at the nation's capital on January 6th has been stripped of his duties ahead of the university's spring semester. KGNU's Steve Miller has more.
The University of Colorado Boulder has removed John Eastman of his remaining public functions. CU's visiting conservative scholar spoke at former President Donald Trump's rally to overturn the results of November's presidential election. Eastman had spoken at the rally prior to the storming of the U.S. Capitol by the then-president's supporters. The Denver Post reports that CU officials had canceled Eastman's spring courses due to low enrollment and said Thursday that they took away his outreach and speaking duties at the Boulder campus. Andrew Sorensen, a CU Boulder spokesman, said that the university concluded that it would likely be disruptive and damage the interest of the campus if Eastman continued these duties. Eastman may stay on to perform research and related activities through May 7th. He will also be paid the remainder of his $185,000 salary. Eastman said that he will be exploring all options for what he feels as retaliation against his constitutionally protected First Amendment activities. Chancellor Phil DiStefano also used the First Amendment in explaining why he wouldn't fire Eastman. DiStefano also said that it is against the university's policies to bar the censorship of a faculty member's political speech. I'm Steve Miller for KGNU.
In the past 2 weeks, 50 counties, including Boulder County, have seen a decrease in COVID-19 cases. According to state data, overall COVID-19 positivity rate is slightly more than 5%. The highest positivity rate in the state is for Jackson County in the northern part of the state, which has a 21% positivity rate over the past 2 weeks. Boulder County has submitted its application for five-star certification with the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. The Business Variance Program allows participating business to operate one level above Boulder County's position on the statewide COVID-19 dial, provided that they demonstrate compliance with enhanced public health guidelines and safety precautions to prevent the spread of the virus. Meanwhile, Boulder has extended its business recovery program through at least October 31st. It was created by the city in response to the pandemic and allows businesses to expand outside to help offset capacity limits put in place under the state's dashboard for infection rates. The program waives minimum parking requirements citywide, allows designated curbside drop-off and pickup locations, has modified alcohol licenses, allows street closures on Pearl and Uni Hill, and reroutes the hop bus. Civil rights advocates say President Joe Biden's executive order extending the moratorium on evictions is a good start, but Congress could do more to protect tenants who have fallen behind on rent because of the pandemic. The moratorium was set to expire at the end of the month on evictions from federally assisted or financial properties and on foreclosures on federally guaranteed mortgages, but the executive order extends it through the end of March. Ian Thompson with the ACLU says it needs to be expanded to cover all tenants and for the duration of the COVID pandemic.
We also need requirements put in place on landlords to make sure that they are not violating these important protections.
He adds that Congress needs to have emergency rental assistance in place before the moratorium is lifted. Some landlords have already challenged the constitutionality of the federal moratorium in court. Thompson points out that each passing month, millions of tenants nationwide are falling further behind on their rent.
Unless there is emergency rental assistance funding in place, all we are doing is kicking the can down the road for when this mass eviction crisis is going to hit.
He thinks the federal government also should provide funding to help cities and states give renters facing eviction the right to be represented by legal counsel in court. He says he cites cities, including New York City, San Francisco, and Boulder. He says they show that instituting a legal right to counsel for tenants helps people keep their homes.
In all of these jurisdictions, these programs have been shown to reduce the number of evictions that actually occur.
Boulder County joined 14 other city and county governments from across the country Thursday in signing an amicus brief criticizing the Safer, Affordable, Fuel-Efficient Vehicles Rule, or SAFE, implemented by the Environmental Protection Agency and the U.S. Department of Transportation. The local governments argue the rule has failed to reduce dangerous air pollution and address climate change, and instead increased health and safety risks for Americans. Looking for a high temperature of about 45, and it is actually 45 right now. I think I said it was 25 earlier. It did not climb 20 degrees in that amount of time. It's 45 degrees outside, and it should be about 37 tonight. And then we are looking at maybe some snow on Monday and Tuesday. It's 8:10. In response to a proposal from the Biden administration, immigrant organizations held a press conference Thursday urging promised immigration reform. The event included videos of immigrants across the state projected on the Byron Rogers Federal Building, a building used for federal immigration court proceedings. KGNU's Rosanna Longo has the report.
On Biden's first full day in office, immigrant rights organizations hold a press conference calling for immigration reform. Colorado Immigrant Rights Coalition, CIRC, Colorado Organization for Latina Opportunity and Reproductive Rights, COLOR, American Friends Service Committee, AFSC, Philanthropies Foundation, Spring Institute, Padres y Jóvenes Unidos. They all gather at the Byron Rogers Federal Building to share the demands of Coloradans across the state and call on the new administration to immediately reform the immigration system.
We're here because we know that we need to work hard. We need a change in the system.
The current system is not okay. That rolling back the Trump policies that were taken to an extreme must happen, but that is only the beginning. Going back to the Obama era time is not okay. We know too many detentions and deportations happened then.
During the socially distanced press conference at the Byron Rogers building, they projected video messages onto the immigration court building to the new administration demanding a reform. Leaders from CIR, COLOR, AFCS, Philanthropies, and Spring Institute spoke on an urgent need for legislation and executive action to protect and honor immigrant rights, and they respond to proposals and actions they had already been taken.
So we're here today, socially distanced, but with people across the state, powerful voices speaking to us to say it is significant and really important that the Biden administration took action immediately on immigration. And it is because of the work of the people who spoke on the screen today up on this building, and because of the work of so many people across this country led by immigrants who didn't stand up, who stood against fear and spoke out. And so we're here to say we have a responsibility to make sure that an overhaul system provides a clear path that is not 8 years long to all those who are part of our community, and we stop detentions and deportations.
Advocates urge to immediately create executive orders to reverse all damage done by the Trump administration and previous administrations, and also to take an executive action.
Also, I want to say, again, Biden taking action right away is critical, and it's happened because of all the work. And the moratorium on deportations is an important step, but it does not include everyone. We know we have a racist criminal justice system, and people who have criminal charges are not included in the moratorium on deportations, and that is not okay. The deportations need to stop of everyone, and we're here to say that tonight.
They also expose that demands for legislative reform, including paving the way for citizenship for all.
Top two priorities with the Colorado Immigrant Rights Coalition is the passage of a bill to establish a statewide universal representation fund. We're calling it a legal defense fund because it's a constitutional right everywhere else in our systems to have a defender, a public defender, to not have to represent yourself in court, but an immigration court that is not present. So we, and with a lot of support from around the state, we're going to be building, we hope, a legal defense fund at the state level. And we will also be working to protect everyone's data privacy in another bill to prevent ICE from being able to mine data, or any law enforcement agency to be able to mine data in state agencies. So those are our top two priorities at the state. And then we also are supporting the passage of a farm worker bill of rights.
The event also includes videos of immigrants from across the state projected on the building, where they share their personal pleas for changes to the immigration system.
The Remain in Mexico policy. You can do this within the 100 days, those first days that you promised of coming into presidency. I urge you to grant legal protection to all those living in sanctuary and all of those seeking asylum in this country. Grant them a safe entry. Please open an investigation of human rights violations performed by ICE. Please open investigation of human rights violations and violations of international laws performed by the ICE Department. The Department of Homeland Security of the United States of America must be held accountable.
That was Laura Soto with Philanthropies Foundation.
It's really important to engage at the local level. Although there is all of these amazing things that have been introduced at the federal level, and we see the new administration trying to make it go, the real way of protecting our communities, of protecting our families, it's at the local level. Padres y Jóvenes Unidos, we are focusing on ending the school prison pipeline to ensure our undocumented students do not end up in the legal system. But for this, this year, Padres y Jóvenes Unidos, at the state level, we are working on passing a bill that limits the tickets and arrests in all schools around Colorado. This making sure that our students who are only going to school to learn or only going to receive an education does not have to confront with police, does not have to receive a ticket to make sure that they can actually be successful after high school. You can enjoy the fight by looking for us on social media, Padres y Jóvenes Unidos on Facebook, PAU Unidos on Instagram and Twitter, and just send us a text. There's amazing organizations out there who are doing similar work, and we're all working towards the same goal of fighting for that path to citizenship for all undocumented immigrants without more funding for ICE or CBP.
That was Alejandro Ortega from Padres y Jóvenes Unidos outside the Byron Rogers Federal Building, requesting and demanding for the new administration to immediately reform the immigration system and to bring justice for millions of immigrants across the country. For KGNU, I am Rosana Longo.
It's 8:17. You're listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. After a hiatus due to COVID-19 interruptions, a local podcast called Sex by Invitation Only relaunched this month. The podcast is a product of Moving to End Sexual Assault, or the MESA program, a program of the Mental Health Partners, the Sexual Violence Resource Center for Boulder County. Lindsay Breslin, MESA's program supervisor, originated the podcast.
It'll be fairly similar, is that we look at the podcast to provide a lot of psychoeducation about sexual violence, what's happening in our community, discussing the different areas of prevention, as well as the dynamics of sexual violence. So that will stay the same. And also more of an advocacy voice. Sometimes we'll talk about if there's a national case that's getting a lot of attention, or a local case that's letting, and kind of our commentary around that. We are adding in listener questions and comments. So we're offering people to send an email to our info@movingtoendsexualassault.org if they have any listener questions or have themes they'd like us to cover. And then we're ending every segment with kind of what you need to know around what's happening either locally or nationally around cases of sexual violence.
Breslin says a 20-minute podcast will be available early in the morning on the first Friday of every month.
I think sexual violence is a topic that people shy away from, and we want to let people know that while it's a difficult topic, we're trying to create it in a digestible way and make it interesting and feel that it's something people can engage with, because we believe, you know, at Moving End Sexual Assault, if we really are going to end sexual violence, it takes everyone. And so this is one way we want to try to get information out there with people not feeling worried about the topic, but make it something that they could find interesting and learn something about to then get further involved.
She says the first episode of the relaunched Sex by Invitation Only podcast dropped last Friday, December 8th.
And we were looking at, it's a topic on setting boundaries with COVID-19 and how those can be translated into intimate relationships. So it's taking kind of a topic where people are already saying like, hey, have you been tested for COVID? Or I want you to keep 6 feet distance and wear a mask. Those are same kind of things that we're asking people to respect and get consent about when we're talking about sexual activity and agreeing to that. So the same kind of consent, the issues on consent, not more boundaries, about what we learned about consent from COVID-19 to sexual violence. So we're trying to link it to other topics to help people see that connection. We want to give voice to survivors of sexual violence when we feel it's appropriate for our episode. There's also a lot of other ways that we can come at it without just hearing people's stories of their experiences, but we can give information about consent, dynamics, the healing process, kind of all different topics to make it more digestible and something that people would not hopefully shy away from.
Breslin says the pandemic temporarily halted production of the podcast, but sexual violence did not halt.
Our call volume initially dropped in March and April, and then we had our highest call volume for 2020 in May of 2020. So our hotline has still been busy. We've been continuing services, and that, you know, we have a lot of ongoing crises, you know, that we've been living through the past year. Yet what we know is the epidemic of sexual violence has been existing for decades, if not longer. And so it is getting more attention. I think people are talking about it again more. And we want to keep that in people's minds. And that everyone, as I said earlier, plays that role to end sexual violence if they're willing to engage with this subject rather than shy away from it.
Again, that was Lindsay Breslin with Boulder County's Mental Health Partners.
This program is supported by you, the KGNU listener member, and by the Boulder Chamber. The Boulder Chamber strives to build community through business and help their member businesses and organizations grow while advocating for an economy that sustains Boulder for those who live and work here. More information at boulderchamber.com.
Time now for Trends Diary, where Boulder County residents of all ages share personal experiences that relate to a pressing community need. The focus for now is on our shared need to connect and solve problems, despite the increased isolation we're all experiencing during the COVID-19 pandemic. This project is brought to you in partnership with Community Foundation Boulder County.
Dear Trends Diary, my name is Father Terry Haroon, but you can call me Terry. That's what everybody calls me. I'm blessed to be the pastor at Light of Christ Ecumenical Catholic Community. We're an independent group that experiences God with many of the smells and bells of traditional Catholic services. But we also practice radical inclusion, opening the sacraments to anyone who wishes to participate, including LGBTQ and divorced people, and, well, female pastors like me. The pandemic has been hard on faith communities. We are a place where people come to connect through mass and fellowship, movie nights, book clubs, justice and charity work. When COVID hit, all of that was suddenly gone, and the sense of disconnect was profound. We scrambled to adapt, learning to be creative with the liturgy and figuring out how to connect with older people unfamiliar with new technology and, well, younger people using it so much that they're burned out. Our theme became connection, communion, community, helping people connect, sharing the experience of communion, even when we're not together, and nurturing the larger community. In August, our Secretary Annie and I presided at our first drive-in mass in the parking lot with an FM transmitter. At the end, Annie started going rogue. She began reciting poetry, specifically a poem I had written called I Dream. On NPR, I heard about a guy who is poet laureate for a baseball team. It goes, where could I be poet laureate? How about my Conoco? The soccer fields near my house? The laundry room? The front porch? I've been writing poetry since I was an angsty teenager, but kept it to myself until I began writing poems on Facebook a decade ago. I wrote I Dream in 2015. And when it came up as a memory this summer, I posted it again. One of the members of my community saw it and talked to our council, and they ran with it. After Annie read the poem, they presented me with a leather-bound journal and a certificate naming me Poet Laureate. I usually have my finger on the pulse of everything in our community, but this was a sweet, sweet surprise. The community knows it's hard to be a pastor right now. When we talk about radical inclusion, it is also about finding ways to value and celebrate each other. This was our community doing exactly that.
Feeling inspired? Do you have your own story of making connections or solving problems during this time of physical isolation? Then visit www.commfound.org. Look for Trends Diary and share your experience with Community Foundation Boulder County. Your submission could wind up on these KGNU airwaves.
And you are listening to KGNU Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. It's the Morning Magazine at 8:25. Insurrection, impeachment, inauguration. That was the theme of the first three Wednesdays of 2021. If it felt like a lot, it's because it was a lot. But there was a bright spot this past Wednesday when Joe Biden and Kamala Harris were sworn in as president and vice president and invited the youngest inaugural poet in U.S. history to the podium. We end today's magazine and set the stage for our connection show, which is devoted to what's ahead for the new administration, with another listen to 22-year-old Amanda Gorman deliver her inaugural poem, The Hill We Climb.
When day comes, we ask ourselves, where can we find light in this never-ending shade? The loss we carry, a sea we must wade. We've braved the belly of the beast. We've learned that quiet isn't always peace. In the norms and notions of what just is, isn't always just is. And yet the dawn is ours before we knew it. Somehow we do it. Somehow we've weathered and witnessed a nation that isn't broken, but simply unfinished. We, the successors of a country and a time where a skinny black girl descended from slaves and raised by a single mother, can dream of becoming president only to find herself reciting for one. And yes, we are far from polished, far from pristine, but that doesn't mean we are striving to form a union that is perfect. We are striving to forge our union with purpose, to compose a country committed to all cultures, colors, characters, and conditions of man. And so we lift our gazes not to what stands between us, but what stands before us. We close the divide because we know to put our future first, we must first put our differences aside. We lay down our arms so we can reach out our arms to one another. We seek harm to none and harmony for all. Let the globe, if nothing else, say this is true. That even as we grieved, we grew. That even as we hurt, we hoped. That even as we tired, we tried. That we'll forever be tied together, victorious. Not because we will never again know defeat, but because we will never again sow division. Scripture tells us to envision that everyone shall sit under their own vine and fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. If we're to live up to our own time, then victory won't lie in the blade, but in all the bridges we've made. That is the promised glade, the hill we climb, if only we dare it. Because being American is more than a pride we inherit. It's the past we step into and how we repair it. We've seen a force that would shatter our nation rather than share it, would destroy our country if it meant delaying democracy. And this effort very nearly succeeded. But while democracy can be periodically delayed, it can never be permanently defeated. In this truth, in this faith we trust, for while we have our eyes on the future, history has its eyes on us. This is the era of just redemption. We feared it at its inception. We did not feel prepared to be the heirs of such a terrifying hour, but within it we found the power to author a new chapter, to offer hope and laughter to ourselves. So while once we asked, how could we possibly prevail over catastrophe? Now we assert, how could catastrophe possibly prevail over us? We will not march back to what was, but move to what shall be, a country that is bruised but whole, benevolent but bold, fierce and free. We will not be turned around or interrupted by intimidation, because we know our inaction and inertia will be the inheritance of the next generation. Our blunders become their burdens. But one thing is certain. If we merge mercy with might and might with right, then love becomes our legacy and change our children's birthright. So let us leave behind a country better than one we were left. With every breath from my bronze pounded chest, we will raise this wounded world into a wondrous one. We will rise from the gold-limbed hills of the west. We will rise from the wind-swept northeast where our forefathers first realized revolution. We will rise from the lake-rimmed cities of the midwestern states. We will rise from the sun-baked south. We will rebuild, reconcile, and recover in every known nook of our nation, in every corner called our country. Our people, diverse and beautiful, will emerge battered and beautiful. When day comes, we step out of the shade, aflame and unafraid. The new dawn blooms as we free it. For there is always light, if only we're brave enough to see it, if only we're brave enough to be it.